And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
Wednesday, June 10th, here in Henniker, New Hampshire, with Jay Noon at Jay Noon's Double Dooms. The Double Dome. D-H-O-M-E-S. The Dooms.
The UPS.
Wait a minute. I got it. There you go.
The UPS guys.
You keep switching headsets.
Well, sorry. The UPS guys call this the booby houses.
Oh, is that what it is?
The UPS guy, yeah.
The booby houses. You know, it's a dragonfly, because they got a lot of dragonflies here, so everything's themed dragonfly. You know, Shallon, you know, is digging on the dragonfly theme here, which is fine. You know, it's cool.
There's a lot less mosquitoes when the dragonflies start swarming. Like, they're pretty good right now, but they're still real small. And what's cool is every time we go to Pork Fest and come back here, the dragonflies, like, they're pretty small. And when you come home from Pork Fest, they've been, you know, haven't seen them in, you know, 10 days, and they're huge. They're like little mini bats, you know, cruising around during the day. But we get massive dragonflies.
Don't dragonflies come from a larvae state?
Yes, they
kind
do.
Of thing?
Yep.
And they grow?
Well, they're bigger when we get, I mean, they're all little right now. You'll see. In, you know, another couple weeks, it'll be a lot more noticeable. And then, and like just before dark, when the mosquitoes start coming out, if you just kind of sit there, stand still.
So dragonflies eat mosquitoes.
Oh, they eat everything. They eat the mosquitoes. They go down on the ground. They grab ants off the ground. I had some carpenter ants here that were flying out of the house in a spot. And every time an ant would fly, a dragonfly would come right down and just grab it.
Boom.
Yep.
I vote dragonflies.
They're great.
You know, I remember, well, you know, I'm from Florida, so I've had a lot of dragonflies.
They're on every continent in the world. Every country in the world is dragonflies. It's like one species. Well, I don't know. There's so many different subspecies of dragonflies. But dragonflies are scattered all over the earth, everywhere. There's dragonflies.
Because they win. They were like dragonflies and dinosaurs.
It's amazing how fast they are and how they can just, like, you know, 0 to 100 and, like, nothing. And all of a sudden flying straight, then just, bam, go left, go up, go down. They're amazing.
All right, dragonflies, man. We can do a, you know, evolutionary tale up. What we're going to do is I wanted to go over the news on Freedom's Phoenix, because I haven't done that in a while, and just to scan through it. And did you post everything as Ecuador put up stuff?
They put stuff up yesterday, and we sent a dispatch last night.
Okay, so it's up there, the stuff that I sent them.
There's nothing up there as of that's why I'm posting.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, you know, the stuff, there's a lot of stuff that I sent. I wonder if they put them up. Yeah. Okay, so they may have a big batch coming yet. Now, because I go through and I say, all right, this one, we send it to staff, and they put it up. And it's a family that live in Ecuador that does it for us. They're, you know, expats, you know, friends that went down there, and they, you know, they made money doing that. So here we got Corbett has we just had him on Monday, and we got a new Corbett up here. Jonathan Latham on Gene Drives and the Gates Foundation. What? Jonathan Latham of Independent Science News joins us to discuss his 17 article, 2017, Gates Foundation hired PR firm to manipulate UN over Gene Drives. What the hell is that about? You know, we're going to have to go in and take a look. What the heck? You know, it's going to see Why Gates Foundation and DARPA, oh my God, are so interested in introducing genetic modifications into various species. See, this is exactly what I was worried about. You know, and told James about this a lot. I'm going, I am more concerned by their willingness, of course, and their ability to change humanity. They can't win. The human spirit, the human, you know, evolution of God said you kind of came, we are, the human spirit will not be denied of, I want whatever I think is in my human nature to, you know, be the best at whatever. I'm going to feed myself. I'm going to use Yankee ingenuity to, you know, make stuff happen. And I'm going to have a nice house and leave me aloneism or something. That's what's up. They're up against. They're like, damn it, these damn humans. They just keep wanting to be independent. You know, won't be a good drone. So they have to change us genetically.
They've gotten really good at doing it with plants. I mean, look what Monsanto's done. And, you know, with, I mean...
They're not going to stop there!
I know, that's what I'm saying, but look how well they have perfected, like, the genetics with plants. You can buy this corn that has, it's Roundup ready, so you can spray it with literal poison that kills everything, and the corn's like, yeah, that's all you got? And then it takes all that poison and puts it in a corn kernel, so in a protein membrane, and your body breaks it down, and we wonder why we're sick. And then, you know, the corn's also genetically modified so when, you know, the bug takes a chomp on it, the bug dies, and then it's genetically modified so when the root worms, you know, get near the roots, the root worms die. And, you know, and that's these guys, and it's genetically modified to grow in a high aluminum soil because they're spraying all the aluminum all over everywhere where all the corn grows, and then it'll only grow if you dump in Monsanto's, you know, crude oil based fertilizers on it. But when you do all that stuff, man, that corn grows like crazy. And that's what those, you know, commercial government subsidized farmers really like.
You know, one of the things, this really became a big deal in India, you know, because the farmers there, they got them sucked in like they always do, just like, you know,
make them poor and
yeah,
give
you
them
get
money.
Monetized on YouTube and they
same
suck
thing.
You in.
Yep.
You know, so they said, you know, here's these cheap seeds, you got, you know, yeah, next year you get some more cheap seeds, and they go, ha ha, we'll just save the seeds from the they're infertile.
Right, Terminator gene.
You know, they go, they no, you can't, once you use us, you don't have seeds ever again anymore. And then they go and they sue you and they say, hey, you're some of your crop crossbred with this, or you got some of ours on your crop. Anyway, they do whatever legal machinations, they've done it in America, to get it to where you have to use their stuff, you have to buy every year, and they just might not have it next time or want to sell it to you.
Kind of happening with humans right now. So all the people I know
what I was building up to is India, a lot of the farmers committed suicide.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they were just.
They lost everything.
They lost everything. This, you know, this is not an accident.
You know, and when you're a farmer and a lifelong farmer and in a community of farmers, you know, when you're a farmer that fails, that's like the ultimate, you know, worst thing that could happen to you as a farmer. You can't be a farmer. You fail. This is why these guys go into this depression. It's just like I knew a guy. He had a lot of cattle, and they drowned. The river. He was somewhere doing something and he couldn't get home to check on the creek, and the creek overflew and it flooded, and a bunch of his cattle drowned, and he found them all, a lot of his cattle dead, and a lot of them he never found. And he used to buy hay off them, and that winter he shot himself, you know, but you know, cause he just couldn't live with that, you know, he lost his herd of cattle. He was
had to start over and everything
and all that. He was screwed, and you know, it's not like he had, you know, he wasn't Tyson. He ain't getting a bailout. He didn't have the insurance. And now we have these people. So I'm 40 years old. I got a lot of friends that have had to do, when you can't get pregnant, IVFS or
in vitro fertilization.
All kinds of things they've done. So, like, you got women that, for some reason, it's not happening. Then you got a lot of men that are shooting blanks. And all these people I know that have had, like, this issue, they get all the vaccines. They get the flu shot every year. You know, I see this stuff on Facebook. You know, I don't really talk to them much, but, you know, I kind of see what's going on. I was friends with them 20 years ago.
Our generation was the first one. I remember it happened. Donna and I, man, we were fertile. Man, it was, man, we were fertile. But a lot of our friends in church weren't. And it got really bad. Late 80s.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Wow, this is scary. Okay, let's take a look at this. It's gone from 1960s. Okay, from the 1960s, we had about 23.7 births per 1,000 people. So that's 2.3, you know, birth rate or whatever. You have to have at least, I think it is a 1.2, 1.3 to have a sustaining birth rate. You know, you have people die and, you know, new life, whatever you got, you know, you need to have. So I guess that was part of, we're still in the baby boomer there. And then it dropped and it kind of leveled out to, you know, 1.5 around in there or something. We're at 1.1 now. You know, it is, and that was just in to 1850. It's getting less. Less, there's something going on. I guess people are having less sex. No, you don't think so? Maybe more, maybe. I don't know, the soy boys you're shooting blanks, is that it? You know, I don't know what it is. You know, there is something going on here. Anybody paying attention? Are they worried about, you know, what gender you're going to select out of 60? You know, there's the emphasis on me. See, I don't care. You know, my thing is that was supposed to be what the goal was. And I don't care. You know, as long as you're not violating my individual rights and you want to do and live the way you want and I don't got to pay for it, you know, I don't care. Don't care. Am I allowed not to care? But now, no, you have to care. You got to care that your local grocer has to have a, you know, fourth bathroom. You know, if you got, you know, if you're, I was happy to see them going to one. You know, why don't you just have one big giant bathroom? Is there anything, you know, you could segregate it and go into one and they'd be back to back and have the urinal. I mean, you could design a bathroom. It doesn't, you know, it's nice that, you know, all of a sudden you got baby changing tables in the men's room too, you know, or you just have every, and a lot of places you share with. Our restaurant, we shared. Because we had two bathrooms. Well, one of them, they were big because you had to have big, you know, wheelchair access. Dude, I'm going, holy crap, this is like a storage room. And we were, you know, primarily carry out and delivery. The pizza restaurant, I mean, we had some little dine-in, but our primary carry out delivery. So you want to have a bathroom. But these two big, giant bathrooms, I was like, damn. You know, I could use that bathroom. So what we did is one of the bathrooms became a classroom. It was a study area for my four kids. When they came home from or got off of school and they didn't have any sports or extracurricular or whatever, they came to the restaurant before dinner rush. First thing they did was their homework. You know, so I said, yep, go in there. They're either in the dining room, but one of my sons, you know, needed a little bit more privacy, and I wanted to make sure we were focusing. My big thing was for one semester, I wanted to make sure he was having problems in school. It was a private school, so it wasn't like being slackers. And I go, nope, you go in there, you do your work. No distraction. You're not making pizzas. You're not jerking around with your, sort of playing video games or dicking around with your siblings or whatever. You go in there and you do your work. That was that bathroom. So we had, you know, a multi-use male, female, and whatever gender and don't care bathroom that was for everybody else. And you just had a sign, you know, a male, female. Yep, we're going down to one bathroom. That's all we needed, you know, for them. If somebody really near, you know, the employees, you know, they go to the other one. So that was just for customers, employees, and everything. Use the other one. Go into one bathroom. Now you got to have 3-4 bathrooms. They got multi-gen, you know, and it was enough. It put a lot of people out. The requirements for the size and all the disability stuff and the checkoff list of whatever it is. And a lot of older restaurants you'll go to here, they get grandfathered or something, but they sell it. That's another $20,000 they got to put up, you know, for somebody to buy it, to upgrade it, to meet the standard of now I got to have a fifth bathroom. You know, this is, I'm just so, it's not sustainable. And all these issues kind of go away when you, and they have all this stuff that's front of mind, and now we got a 1.1 birth rate. It's gone. Jay just came back in. Which mic are you on? That one?
I'm on this one.
Ah, see, you keep changing. God, you're killing me.
I'm on this one. Can you hear me now?
So the we went from 1960 to 24 births per 1,000 people to now we're 1.1.
Wow.
You know, it's, I mean, you had the baby boomer thing, and it kind of leveled out in the mid-70s. You know, you had, you know, the Equal Rights Amendment, sent everybody, all the women to work or whatever. But then kind of leveled out, and just since 2005, it looks like, it's just been plummeting. It was 14.3, and in just a few years, you know, a decade, it went down, God, almost 30% or something.
So what year did it go down to 30%?
It really took a drop in 2006.
Okay, 2006. So now that's 14 years ago. So theoretically, like, I bought my first house when I was 20. Actually, I bought land when I was 17. I thought I was going to move upstate New York and farm when I got done with everything. But I bought land up there, and then I ended up trading the land sort of towards a house when I was 21 in Massachusetts. And but now, so theoretically, when people are ready to buy houses, say, let's, because it's been 16 years since this 30% drop off, and those people that are, you know, 16 years old now, within, you know, in about 10 years, you would think they would start moving into a house or an apartment anyways, but like to buy a house. So you have all these folks that are going to, you know, be out of houses because they're, you know, they die off or they go into retirement homes or whatever the deal is. I think there's going to, with this population drop, like one of my really good friends just sold his house in the city, Manchester here, for good money. And I think that's that these urban and even a lot of suburban places are going to come down tremendously in value. First off, because a lot of people want to move to the country now so they can have, you know, 3 acres
life,
if I can take care of myself.
Breathe air.
And grow stuff and keep livestock and whatever.
Smell green.
So, yeah, housing's definitely, I mean, I got to see it getting cheap. I mean, it's a bubble anyways, but just the fact that there won't be the demand for it. And there's something like, I don't know, 2.something million bank-owned vacant homes in the country right now, according to the Federal Reserve report a couple, you know, months ago.
It is the demographics. This was years ago, a decade ago or so. A wealthy friend of mine lives in Fountain Hills, Arizona. There, we were out with some other guys golfing and so on. And whenever I get a chance, you know, they know they support what I do, and you know, here's some money, go, you know, kick some butt, and I need some help on or whatever. We've been friends and activists for 30 years, and I asked him, I go, man, what do you seek? He goes, it's demographics. For the whole 18 holes, he was going on about some books he's written, some of the investments he's made, some of the decisions he's done, and how he's allocating his resources and everything. Demographics. He goes, there isn't enough population replacement, and it's going down. And all the baby boomers are getting old or dying off, and they're moving into, you know, the COVID death house of whatever,
right,
you know, while they have all these McMansions they're getting out of, and there's nobody there to buy them. So everybody's going to get their, you know, their whatever, you know. And so this is a real estate price is never, I think there's going to be more demand for land. But what do? Like they do with any business or anything, they regulate you out of it. What taxes you got to pay? What increase in value?
We're going to get them out of the way.
Get them out of the way by ignoring them, I hope.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
From the studios of the Love Bus. You know, I might get Charles to, you know, change that. You know, we got, you know, it's going to be, you know, studios of Freedom's Phoenix in the Love Bus, you know. It's, we had to get everything moved out, and they're not going to start the actual painting until Friday. I go, well, hell, I'm not going to leave it here. It's got a nice bed in it. I'll bring it back Friday. We're 5 miles down the road, you know. So I got to go down this afternoon and pay and everything. You know, they're not going to be ordering thousands of dollars worth of paint, you know, until I, you know, like, show them some money, you know. But I had to. All right, which one are you on now?
Same one I've been
there,
on.
There you go. Well, it's so confusing. Well, this is, and let's go over some of the news here. I wanted to, you know, get caught up. That's one thing that I really like about Freedom's Phoenix is you just go through the news and it's just like, oh my God. You know, and a lot of the stuff I send, but Donna does, and, you know, listeners and readers send us stuff, or they can post their own things, you know.
Oh, let me tell you something really cool about Freedom's Phoenix I figured out the other day. So, like, if you watch a YouTube video on a YouTube app on your phone, and you put the phone and you, like, lock out your screen because, you know, I don't want to give YouTube any money and buy their premium, it just shuts off. But on Freedom's Phoenix, if you watch a YouTube video through the Freedom's Phoenix app, I can lock out my phone, put it in my pocket because...
And still listen to it.
And still listen, and it doesn't, like, stop or go to some commercial or whatever because the screen on your phone is hitting something in your pocket. And I got my, you know, 3M, you know,
work
ear pro, yeah. Work Connects, and I love those things because, like, the equipment's
loud. Yeah, I got
loud.
A pair. You and, know, yeah, Derek got them. He gave you some. Yep. He gave them. I go, hey.
He gave them to all his buddies.
Well, yeah, he didn't give them to me.
Oh, no?
I go, hey, what the hell, man? He goes, well, you can get your own. I'm going, oh, okay. So I got them, you know, because they're kind of cool.
But so that's a really cool way to stream YouTube videos is right through the web browser on your phone on the Freedom's Phoenix, and it gets you around the crap with YouTube because YouTube just wants you looking at it.
Okay, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that until
you know,
like, a couple days ago.
Because sometimes I can listen to it and sometimes I can't.
Yep.
And I didn't know it was that when I was listening to it through Freedom's Phoenix. That's why it would stay on and it wouldn't when I was doing the other.
Well, yeah, and then like...
well, that's a good thing to know.
Right, and then you bring your phone back up because I get a phone call. And I hit the phone call, and I'm on the phone, and it doesn't stop playing. And it was James Corbett. Then the guy I'm talking to, I'm like, I go, hold on a second. He was calling me about some pigs, actually. I go, hold on a second. I open up, you know, and go back and hit stop on the browser. And he goes, well, that was pretty interesting. What was that? So I sent him the link to the thing.
You know what a lot of people, we used to do, you know, for a restaurant and so on, you had, like, hold music.
Yes.
You know, and you could put all kinds of what I put all kinds of, you know, whatever I wanted, you know, on the hold thing. And that would be interesting. We could, you know, you don't have the technology now is totally different. You don't have like holds or you're listening, you're talking to some robot and they're doing some. Do you want to listen to our crap or not listen to our crap while we make you
push
wait
one
40
to listen
minutes?
To classic rock. Push yeah. One to hear advertisements.
push. Four and listen to Corbett, you know.
Insert a quarter to not listen to our advertising.
Right. Okay, here's the top story. Ron Paul Liberty Report did a thing on this. Shut down hoax. The World Health Organization now says no threat from asymptomatic carriers. Now, carriers, they're not really carriers. They've been exposed. They got the antibodies or whatever. They're going, oh, you were exposed, yeah? And I'm over it.
Isn't everybody a carrier of everything?
Pretty much. And are going to be. You know, this. I'm so sick of the lie. It's just, it's how long they can get away with stuff to do whatever it was that they wanted to do. And once they do that, then it's over. And I guarantee you, if the election happens, it's November, and the Democrats get whatever the heck it is they want, salvation and the Lord done blessed America, it's all over, and don't worry about it. Trump wins again. There's space aliens coming, man.
I got a friend coming over with a couple of his kids this weekend, and he's like, you still going to have some pigs this weekend? I'm like, yes, I will. He goes, good. I want my kids to play with the pigs. And I says, oh, cool. Why? Well, I was doing some research, and when kids play with farm animals,
their immune system goes up.
The microbes from the farm animals build their immunity. And I says, oh, that's fake news. He goes, news. I told him, you know, just jokingly, and he says, no, it's real. That can happen. And he's a city guy. So he's got like a 3-year-old and I think an 8-year-old, and he wants to come play with the pigs.
Well, you got, you know, Cypress sucking on your pig finger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you know. But I remember as a kid, heck, I there was a special. In Florida, they did a lot of the dirt roads were clay, you yep. know, because you had a lot of clay there. And clay was, I guess it worked really well.
Well,
you
that's what this
it,
garden top basically is clay.
You know, and it made like a good road, I guess, you mm-hmm. know. And what I found out is when I was about 5 is that you could get layers of it. And we'd like oh, yeah. make big holes. We'd make it big patties, and we're sculpting stuff yep. and, you know, kind of playing with
it. Set it in the sun, it's now a rock.
Right. And then we'd sit there, and I'd go, and it was tasty. So there was like, I bet you there was a good few days I distinctly remember eating clay going, man, this is good. I was sitting there just for some reason I craved that clay. You know, and then my mom going, stop eating that clay. You had it. She was watching me from the window. You know, she knew I was doing it. She's like, yeah, whatever. You know, that's, you know, kind of the kid thing and good for you. I guess there's,
the pigs eat it. They love it.
You know, I don't know what it did. I mean, you know, I didn't crave it anymore after I got it. I must have got whatever I wanted.
Sure.
You know, but there's some craving. That's another thing. Pregnant women crave dill pickles and dirt or something, too.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
There's some kind of mineral thing. And that's one thing I would tell Donna before we started doing a lot of juicing and health. I remember it was about 2008, 9, you know, around in there. No, it was 2006, 7. It was before the Lovolution. It was right before that, and I'm, you know, I was gaining a lot of weight. I was probably about 30 pounds more heavier than I am now. I remember used to be a lot heavier too,
yeah.
You know. And I'm going, I trust myself, my body. There's something I'm not getting, you know. So I'm eating, but it wasn't the right stuff. And it was, you know, I thought I was eating health conscious Cheerios of doing the, you know, General Mills told me that I, you know,
glyphosate enriched.
Yeah, you know, whatever, you know. And I go, there's something, it's a nutrition, it's not how much, it's something. And then when we started doing, you know, the radio, more than the website, and we started doing more research, and all of a sudden the weight just started going off. You know, all of a sudden I'm 30, 40 pounds lighter. And I'm going, you know, now I need to do another batch of lighter, you know, and getting off all the carbs. You know, that's like another thing on this, why we've been stopping at the farmer's markets and kind of stuff. You know, and we're going to be start getting better food. Like the meat that you have here. Donna got a bunch of stuff at Waddell's Dairy where we did a harvest host. We stayed over one night. And I tell you one thing. They had crack cocaine in the form of walnut ice cream. I tell you. Donna goes like this. She goes, she starts having some. She goes, well, you know, well, half of that was for me. There's like a third left. I go, half? I'm like, hey, you know, where's some for me, man? But it's a lot better. And when we had our children, we moved into this one place that had a nice backyard, a pool, and so on. And when spring hit, all of a sudden, all these plants started, you know, we had grapes and blackberries and all kinds of crap started popping up. And I go, wow. Well, we went ahead and started just a little, you know, like 10 by 12 garden. And bell peppers, tomatoes, you know, so that our children knew what real food tastes like. That was it. You could just take cherry tomatoes and just eat them right off the vine. We just walk through, talk, and they're just eating the ripe stuff that was right on the vines.
Yep.
Then they go out there, and they started, like our grandkids, when we did our aquadome, they go out, and they just, you know, they'd be kind of sheepish. You know, they'd see ripe cherry tomatoes, and they pull them, they eat them. You know, they get rid of the evidence.
Tomatoes.
And they see me eat, you know, seeing them doing it. Ooh, I got caught. I go, no, that's what they're for. Knock yourself out. You know, cool. So they're in there eating all the time. Then we had a barrel. It was one of those poly barrels we cut in half, and we started growing potatoes. So we tell the kids, all right, go get potatoes for dinner. They go and they dig in the dirt, and they get the potatoes. It was here, it's a way of life, and it's kind of natural. In the city of Phoenix, we had to create an artificial environment to do this kind of stuff so that our kids could see food, what it tastes like, how it was done. They got to actually grow it, you know. And I think they did all this food stuff. They're going to start focusing on this. I think they're going to start seeing that people are going to just start eating a lot less. They're going to be a lot healthier. They're going to go more nutrition dense, and they're going to find out who their local butcher is.
That's right.
We win.
From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These patterned monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
We're back. We're yakking. I'm sorry. We were doing on ordering seals for, yeah, we got multitasking, all kinds of crap, man. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we're doing. The, yeah, we got to pull the act. We knew we've had to do this since we got it, but one of the dually axle in the back leaks oil. You know, because the way that the you put oil in this common differential or something, and it kind of fills the whole back axle there, because they don't have bearings.
Yeah, they do.
They don't? They do?
They do. So the seal that leaks is the wheel seal, and it leaks on the brake drum a little bit, and it, you know, kind of like causes issues and
Makes it won't stop dirty. As fast, or it'll burn or something.
Create a little smoke. And, yeah, there's all kinds of bearings in that differential. You got, you know, probably 3 pinion bearings, I think, on this particular axle, 2 carrier bearings.
No, I mean like a hub bearing.
And then there's hub bearing, 2 hub bearings.
There is. I thought it was an oil bath thing.
It is. The bearings are oil bath.
Okay, yeah, but it's not greased bearings.
They're not greased bearings.
So it's oil bearings.
But when we put it back together, we'll pack all the bearings with grease, and then we'll put like a couple ounces of gear oil in the hub, and then put it together, and then we'll fill up the differential with gear oil, which lubricates the differential and all the bearings in the axle assembly.
Okay. But we've been we got to get that seal. So we're looking for and calling the freight line, 18-wheeler people, and come down. Yeah, we had to order on Amazon.
It's the only place I can actually come up with somebody could, like, say, yes, I can have this part, or I have this part. The only guy that has it in stock is Amazon. I don't know when the ship date is, but, you know, we're going to do it in a couple weeks after Pork Fest. But this is another example of this scamdemic. I mean, Fleet Pride or the auto parts store or whatever, they're like, oh, we really can't get it. Oh, yeah, we can ship it in.
It's in stock and get it here Friday.
Yeah. And Amazon's quicker than any local place that can order it, and it's freaking half the money. You know, they wanted like $72 for that same seal. What's it, like $25 over there at Amazon?
Yeah, this is another thing. We have on these, there's some of these drawers just when you go around a corner, the drawer's open.
Yep.
You know, they have like a little lock thing that just doesn't work right or something. So I had to get some magnet thing, and I'm sitting there jury-rigging, you know, got the magnet, blah, 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 blah. And there's a little bracket on the refrigerator that kind of closes it so it won't open. You know, you got a little thumb thing. Well, they don't make those anymore. We
My
went
brother 3D prints those. I should have him send you the file.
Boom.
Let's do that. I'm going to text him right now.
Let's do it.
Because he did that for his camper. Because same thing, he couldn't. He had they just fly open, you know.
Well, I need doors. You know, Donna's using bungees. We got because one of them broke. We got the, you know, and then there's some trim pieces that Bob was 3D printing, you know. And I was showing Derek, you know, his is a little bit different. It doesn't have the same thing. But you can't order this stuff, or you can't find it. And then you go look. All right, you make the effort. You make the effort. I want to do mom and pa. I want to go to the local RV place. We probably spent getting here 2-3 hours going out of our way to stop by these big RV places in mid-America to go get some widget kind of, you know, make it easy. They don't have it Amazon. You know, and we get here and there's all that stuff. We got everything. You know, I mean, it's the internet really, but Amazon has. I'm not comfortable with this. It's way too central point of failure. You know, you get really, it's the same mentality of, just do YouTube. Yeah, we'll distribute YouTube. We'll do everything on YouTube. We'll YouTube everything. Who will be here Saturday? The seals be here Saturday on the way. Boom.
Yep. And the thing is, too, is like a lot of these, like RV World.
Well, we may want to do them if we can. It's not going to be that big a deal. We may do it before Pork Fest so on my new paint job doesn't get splattered with oil.
It won't get splattered with oil. But, yeah, if we can, sure.
All right, we'll see.
It's always crunch time around, you know, for like, so here in New Hampshire with the Free Staters and all this stuff, it's like
crunch time getting ready to go to Pork Fest.
Like, Pork Fest is everything shuts down. You can't get anything done. You know, no Free Stater businesses are, like, really doing much. They're all, you know, all the services, like, and so I tell people, like, hey, listen, even like I just told the girl I worked on her car, I'm like, next year, like, I need to work on your car after Pork Fest, I don't like June. Just I and even last year I cut off everybody. I told everybody no more work in June, and you know I got work I haven't gotten done from this winter. I'm still working on, and so it's like it's a thing around here. You can't hire anybody, get nothing done during Pork Fest because everybody's up there.
You know, one thing that's happening. We're going to have in the third hour a guy, young guy Dylan. He's kind of a male version of Melody. You know,
yeah, he is
out working, yep, doing whatever. And, you know, Melody's, I like her. She's a productive, you know, get it done, not waste, yep, time, no drama kind of individual. And I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time with her, but she seems pleasant enough, and she doesn't strike me as, you know, I got trauma
nope
on anything.
I told her, so that's one thing I tell everybody that comes here. I can't have any drama. If you're a drama,
I don't want ex-boyfriends coming and you not getting your heroin fix of you're pregnant with whatever of somebody you didn't know in the bar. Kind of never mind.
So one of our friends has was going to stay here, and that individual, like, drama just seems to, you know, be a thing with them, and they're a good friend of mine, and I personally don't care. I just don't. But everyone, people are, you know, get, you know, upset, annoyed, or whatever. But so like they have they're storing a vehicle here. They're not living here. And I was just like, listen, there can't be any drama. And they're like, well, can I just store my car here? Sure. Because, you know, they know, I think, they went and found some other living situation, which is fine. And they're welcome here and they're my friend. But it's just, they're, for some reason, drama. And I said, it's the only thing that I'm going to have a problem with. And it's been good because I'm just, you know, if you're like one guy, he's a Facebook troll. That's all he does is troll. And he wanted to come here. And I said, what's your apocalypse skill? And
I'm a troll.
I don't need a troll. I got no use for a troll. He hasn't gotten back to me on his apocalypse skill. So I haven't heard from him. That was, you know,
yeah,
6 weeks
like
ago.
Any skill.
Right.
You know, be an ad. What's your ad? You know, I'm doing that. Hey, don't have a seat, man. You know, I just, you know, show me what you can do. If you're not, then you're just a subtraction, ad sucking, taking, you know, time away from why are you here? You know, and say, yeah, but I'm a human being that has rights, and you owe me something. I have a right to you. Give me, you know, pull splinters or something. I mean, you know, health care. Yeah, I'm going. I think I'll decline.
Right.
You know, and that's why we have a lot of people. We have a lot of people that are, when we had the 2 acres there, there were a lot of people that come by. A lot of people want to stay. Well, we just want to plug in and do it. Guy go, nope. What's your exit strategy? You know, why are you, where are you going to be? She can do third hour Zoom. Well, freaking man, we got 1 minute to talk to Dylan then. Dylan, say hey and yo, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right, real quick, man, you got a minute. You're going to be here tomorrow?
I don't know. I got to probably go to Bardo tomorrow. I'm not really sure.
Okay.
We're here next Tuesday, though, all day.
Okay, well, we're going to make sure we get a thing. Real quick, tell everybody where you're from, what you got. A minute to get elevator speech. Go.
I'm Dylan. I'm from Berlin, New Hampshire. I'm a native. Found out about the Free State Project in 2013. Huge fan of the Liberty Migration. This community is growing, and it's blossoming. It's great.
And what have you been doing, you know, here at Jay's?
I've been doing some homestead stuff, whatever he needs me to do, building watering systems, you know, putting hay around for the animals, feeding the animals. Hey, for the plants, whatever needs done. It's great. I'm learning a lot.
Yeah, see, man, you know, now you got, you know, young women and young men here, all good looking, kind of, you know, out there, shirt off, buff, getting tan, showing his biceps he must lift.
And Montana Document Services, you want to register your car, your truck, your RV in Montana, Dylan's a guy.
You give me temporary plates. We've been like 2-3 months waiting on our paperwork. What up?
I can try and get you 10 plates, maybe even by tomorrow. Get all the paperwork in order.
Really?
Yeah.
We're going to have you take a look. I'll call, you know, Derek and Ben and see, you know, where we're at on that, because I'm like, what the hell? I'm driving on, you know, the man's going, I've been dealing with law enforcement twice since we got this, and they've been pretty good about it. All I got to do is say, COVID. Yeah, whatever, you know. You know, that's only, but that's only going to work for a while. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to drag that one out.
It's riot
you know?
Season now. COVID's done.
Yeah, that's not, hey, COVID, what's that? We're white-black, you know, now. We're dealing with racial stuff. All right, hey, Dylan, yeah, we look forward to talking to you next week, get you in, because I've been seeing you out here busy. You know, I've been, all I see is his butt. You know, he's bending over working. Nice butt, ladies. That's what you know.